What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Bec Antonucci. Oh my God, we have just finished my first Bali retreat. It was, I can't even begin to describe. My heart feels so open to these women, the work that we've done, the transformation that has occurred, and I feel so honored. In-person work just hits so differently. I love my online business and I love all the women all around the world I have been able to connect with because of Instagram, Zoom, this podcast. I wouldn't know you if I wasn't in your ears right now. And the magic of in-person work is just so incredibly transformational and life-changing that I feel so rich and so full and so aligned and on purpose right now. Today's episode, I have popped my in-person podcast recording cherry. Can you fucking believe it? With one of my beautiful girlfriends here in Bali. She is an entrepreneur. Her name is Sarah Scully Leaf. Fun fact, we actually met through my business coach. My ATM card wasn't working one day and I needed money. I had no cash on me. I put up on my Instagram, oh my God, I'm stuck in Bali. My bank card isn't working. I have no cash left. And she messaged me saying, hey, babe, I know you through our business coach, Steph Gorton. I would help you. And since then, we've become beautiful friends. And I felt really called to share this episode with you. We dive deep into the truth behind a freedom lifestyle. Sarah was an ex-lawyer. She now lives in Bali, runs her business from Bali. And I know so many of you ask me questions all the time about how do I leave the life that I'm in right now? And I'm ready to leave, but I don't really know what my transferable skill set is to create my own business. There's so much fear that comes up for me when I think about leaving the security of my hometown, my current job, the life that I'm currently living. And Instagram kind of makes it look like everyone is just doing this with so much ease and everyone becomes a millionaire in 2.5 seconds. And I am the fuck up. You were the fuck up. You're the one that can't get her shit together. And Sarah and I really want to normalize this conversation and have a really real, raw and incredibly truthful conversation about what it truly takes to create a life of freedom. If you love this episode, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag both myself and Sarah because we would fucking love to connect with you. Strap yourself in. This is one hell of an episode. Let's fucking go. So we are breaking the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast virginity, in-person podcast virginity with one of my beautiful Bali girlfriends, Sarah Scully Leaf. Welcome to Raw, Real and Vulnerable.
Thank you for having me and for being your first.
I know. We're trying to set up all the cameras and make sure we've got the good side of our faces. Women, you all know what we're talking about. You want to be recorded with the camera facing the good side. You know, we've all got a side. So that's taken a little bit of time, but we're here. And in that process, I was like, oh, this is my first. And I wonder how Sarah's going to take me today.
She did say she wanted to be seduced.
But we're going to dive into this beautiful conversation around the truth behind what it really takes to create a freedom lifestyle. Before we even go there, I'd love all the listeners to hear about who is Sarah Scully Leaf and what is it that you do in the world?
Thank you, firstly, for having me on here. So basically, I used to be an ex-lawyer, the opposite of a freedom lifestyle, chained to a desk. Every 6 minutes was being recorded, very much in that rat race corporate type of life. And I didn't realize at the time that freedom was one of my core values. All I knew that was after a number of years of feeling really suffocated, really exhausted all the time, I had just no energy or vibrancy for life and my health started giving out from that. I just needed to take a step back. I took time off work and eventually after the pandemic, I was like, I need a circuit breaker. I need to go find myself, which led me out to Bali. And I was originally here for a 5-week trip. Which turned into, it's been almost 2 years. And during that kind of initial 4 months, I went, I can't go back to working for someone else. I can't give up my freedom. I can't feel trapped to a desk. I need to find a way to make it work. And I'd been very deep in my personal development journey during that time. So that's what I turned to. That was my interest. It was my love. And I basically turned it into a coaching business off the back of that. So I do NLP, neuro-linguistic programming or mindset coaching and breath work for business owners, entrepreneurs and high achieving women.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. So the reason that I really wanted to have you on here, obviously I know your journey, is we do what we do and we're in Bali and we also have these online businesses. And for me, that comes with a lot of questions of like, how did you do it? I want to leave my life. I resonate with feeling suffocated. I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate my job title. Maybe I'm attached to either the money, the paycheck that comes in, the security, or the validation of being a lawyer or whatever it is that you are. And I have no idea what to do. How did you go from I'm a lawyer, I feel suffocated, to actually I'm going to turn this into a gift and live this free lifestyle on an island in Indonesia?
I had to do my own inner work first. And I had to actually work out what was a meaningful and successful life for me. Because I remember looking around on my 30th birthday and I had everything that I'd ever wanted. I had an incredibly successful, prestigious career. I had a partner. We were about to get married. We were going to buy a house, have kids. I had the money. I had the family. I had the close friends. And I was the unhappiest I have ever been. Deeply, deeply depressed. I was about 20 kilos heavier than I am now. I was just really actually quite miserable. And that was a huge wake-up call for me because it wasn't even that I was doing what I thought society wanted me to do. I wanted those things. I just couldn't realize once I had them, why wasn't I happy? And so I had to go on this really long journey of actually working out what does make me happy. And as you would know, once you start doing the work, you realize you've got a lot of shit in there. Can I swear?
You can say whatever the fuck you want on this podcast, baby. Am I always writing emails telling the team, just let people know, taboo topic, sex, fuck, whatever words you want to, just all of you is welcome here, Sarah. Okay. You just go for it.
So yeah, like there was a lot of shit in there. I had a lot of trauma. I had a lot of, you know, child stuff. I was in an abusive relationship. All of this stuff that I had to heal in order to really connect to myself. And it was only from that place of connection that I could go, okay, well, what do I actually want in my life? What does success mean to me? What are my core values? And am I living in alignment with them? And if I'm not, how can I do that? And for me, my measurement of success was all off. It wasn't the external things. It wasn't the partner or the job or the money or any of it. It was for me, and it still is, waking up every day excited about my life and going to sleep feeling content.
Yeah. So powerful. And so that was not an overnight journey. And if any woman is listening to this and they're like, okay, I hate my job, want the freedom lifestyle, do I try and learn a skill so that I could actually move? Because the thing that women bring to me is like, I want to do what you're doing. I have no idea how I'm going to literally survive. Like, how am I going to eat in another country when the only skill that I believe that I have is one that a boss will pay for? And it's not like in Indonesia as, I mean, I'm sure there are options, but I couldn't imagine really great ones being something outside of working for yourself. And so do we start with going and finding a skill set that can turn into a business, or do we do the inner work? Sarah, tell us. What is the path?
What worked for me and what I always say to my clients, firstly, is to follow your curiosity. Sometimes that starts as a hobby, starts as an interest, because otherwise what we can do is we get really tunnel visioned and we make something have to be something. It's like, okay, I'm miserable in my job, so the next thing must be my life's purpose. You're probably not going to go from, I know that this is not it and it's making me really unhappy, to the immediate next thing being, this is why I'm on this planet and this is what I was here to do. There's got to be a middle. And so how do we bridge the gap between where you are and where you want to be? And for me anyway, at least, it was slowly taking steps towards things that I was interested in.
And it sounds to me like that's coming from a really grounded place. I feel where women go wrong is they have such an immediacy, like an urgency of, all right, I know I'm dissatisfied in my career right now. I know I'm unhappy. Or maybe it's not career. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's not relationship. Maybe it's a suburb that you live in. But I'm aware that where I am right now isn't it. I also don't know what it is. And I feel really uncomfortable with the middle. And I just want to rush through it. Do you experience this when people are reflecting back to you about what their desires are? And what kind of guidance would you give that person that's like, I just want to get my happily ever after and my freedom lifestyle ASAP?
I would say the problem for a lot of those women when they're really in that thick of it is so much of their life is that shit. So it's because they're so tired, they have no morning routine. They wake up, the alarm's cutting through their sleep, they're dragging their ass to get ready, and then they're commuting to work, they're working. By the end of the day, absolutely exhausted, coming home, flopping on the couch. Any form of hobby is hanging out with friends when they even do that. And so a lot of their life is just consumed by energy draining activities. There's very, very little in their life that is actually expansive for them. And so what I would say for anyone that is trying to rush through everything and speed up time to have this impeccable life that they want now can be really as small as getting up 10 to 15 minutes earlier and doing something for you, not that perfectionistic must set up my morning routine and have the perfect thing that I do before I go to work, but what is something that you would really enjoy doing and taking even 5 to 10 minutes when you get up to do those things. And then after that, looking where else in my life do I actually do things that give me energy? Sometimes it can be a particular friend. It can be an activity. Sometimes it can even be in the job that you don't like, but being on awareness for those moments where you feel excited or you feel energized, what were you actually doing that day or who were you with when you felt those moments, and then actually going towards more of those moments because that's going to actually allow some aliveness in a day that is otherwise probably really draining for you.
Yeah. What does your, out of curiosity, your morning routine in Bali look like right now?
I love my morning routine. So it's actually pretty similar.
If I see her in the morning, I'm like, do I interrupt her or do I leave her alone? Maybe I just wait from afar because she's in her thing right now.
So I, and this is going to sound quite rigid, but it's because I have tried so many things and I just know what works for me and I love it. My phone is off. I have my phone off 12 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
I drive down to the beach on my bike. I really love feeling the breeze on my face as I'm driving to the beach. I order my coffee in Indonesian, so I don't even speak English. And then I'll go and sit at Times Warung on a little bean bag on the beach and I will have my coffee. I will read a book. Sometimes I'll just play with the little doggies on the beach and I'm usually there for however long I want to be. It's no time. And then I go and start work.
Yeah, I love it. Does the 12 hours of no phone include nighttime?
Yeah.
Or that's outside of the time that you're asleep?
So it includes when I'm asleep. So generally I try and do at least 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Yeah, love it.
And there's 7 different types of rest. So it hits multiple different types of rest. So your mental rest, sensory rest, physical rest, you get better quality sleep. But also I find for a lot of my clients, it forces them to be more present.
Yes.
They end up going to bed earlier because they're not doom scrolling at night, which means they get better quality sleep and more sleep. So they wake up feeling more energized. Yes. And then they actually do something in the morning before they start work because they're not doom scrolling immediately. And so just a really, really small habit actually has massive ripple effects onto someone's mindset.
Yeah, I can imagine. I said to myself the other day, I'm going to go buy an alarm clock and just turn my mobile phone off entirely. Then I don't even have to think about, am I going to pick it up to see what time it is. I don't need the phone. And so from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., which is essentially what you just said, there's just not an option to pick the phone up. And once we take the option away, it really is going to illuminate how many times we go to reach for it and forces us to get really present, because then if we want to use the phone, we literally have to ask ourselves, what am I choosing? Like, if I'm going to turn that thing on, I'm choosing to go against the commitment that I made. And what is it that's in this phone right now that I have to turn it on for if I've made a commitment to not?
So I also have a work phone.
Yes.
For exactly that reason. When we have one phone, so often we allow ourselves to be distracted by emails or social media or whatever else. But when I have two phones and I go to just do a little bit of work, I actually have to say to myself, are you going to break the commitment that you made to yourself to finish working today by turning your work phone on to respond to that client?
Yes. I love it. And do you feel, on the topic of the mobile phone, that being an entrepreneur adds another element of addiction to it? Because essentially it's like, I make money from this motherfucker. So I can almost excuse why I would pick this up, because if I do and I do like a money-making activity, then it's going to produce a result and then I'm going to get paid more. So I could pick up the phone right now. It is work.
Yes. And I find, because a lot of our job is content creation.
Yeah.
And both you and I have a lifestyle element to our business. So I find it is especially the case if I see a beautiful sunset or I'm out, you know, quad biking with friends or I'm doing something really fun. My brain does start going, oh, well, you should film this, get a little bit of content. Do you find that?
Yeah. I mean, when I went on my breathwork retreat, it was 7 days. It was full on days. it wasn't a small investment either. And there was a part of me that was like, it's so beautiful here. It's so natural here. There's dolphins. It was in the north of Bali. And there was a voice in the back of my head that just kept saying, get your phone out, get your phone out. And I think I was just going through the Jake breakup as well. So I was feeling not myself. So I didn't want photos of me. So I'm like, I'm in this beautiful place. I have an online business. My podcast team is saying, get some bloody B-roll. You're in one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And I was like, the last thing I want to do is take a photo or a video. But I had serious content guilt of, I'm in this beautiful place and I should get some images and photography of this. And then I had this other voice being like, is this the society that we live in now, that we experience content guilt and we don't get our phone out? Can't I just appreciate what's in front of me? And that was the hamster wheel that was going on in Rebecca Antonucci's head that week.
But on the topic of what we're talking about, I think that really is an element to one of the downsides, you would say, of a freedom lifestyle is most people, especially out here, run businesses through social media.
Yes.
And if you have a business through social media, there are a lot of people that do that, which means that your personal branding has to come into it. And a lot of that is your lifestyle.
Yes. And do you feel that you can have these boundaries? I know a prior version of me who had started in her online business. She would have been like, nah, like I'm in the hustle phase right now, Sarah. I'm all in as many hours, pick that motherfucker up first thing in the morning, turn that phone off last thing at night. But I am on it because I am creating something. But now I'm 4 years into my coaching business. So now having boundaries in my business is so much easier because there's so much certainty. I know what my monthly recurring revenue is. I know what my money making activities are. I know what to do there. Even though I could pick up the phone and do more, I already have this sense of relaxation of I don't need to. Do you feel like you're only there and able to set the boundary now because you've done the hustle in the beginning?
I'm only just over a year into business.
Oh, wow. So she's all in the boundaries.
I'm quite new. So I would say I'm maybe halfway to what you're talking about.
Yes.
But I think that's only because I do have really good boundaries with myself.
Yes.
And I'm generally pretty good at keeping the promises to myself. But I do struggle. I do still have that content guilt sometimes. What I've gotten better at doing is, say you and I went to a beautiful sunset and I was like, oh, I should get that. It's a lovely sunset. I'll just take a video and just park it and I'll post it later, as opposed to before, maybe 6 or 8 months ago, at every stage of the sunset, I would take different videos till I got the one with the best lighting, all of that kind of shit, right?
Yeah, love it. And I love that you just referenced being in business for 12 months. So did you become a millionaire like every other person on Instagram after putting up 3 posts a day for 7 days and you quantum leaped?
Absolutely not.
Can we talk a little bit about that? Because you feel, I think something that's really beautiful about the two of us, and which is why we're such good friends, is we have very similar values, alignment, integrity, very common interests, great at our own boundaries, respect each other's boundaries, willing to communicate boundaries to each other, and also just so truthful. And I think something that's happening on Instagram right now, a lot of my clients are always like, everyone else, this big generalization, everyone else is in happy relationships. Everyone else is killing it in Bali. Everyone else is a millionaire in 10.5 seconds. Everyone else is doing 10K months, 50K months, $100,000 months. I'm the fuck up. And it puts a lot of pressure on women to start, to do anything, to try something. So what are your thoughts about that entire conversation?
It's very rare. And that's the 1%, right?
Yes.
Such few people just make it instantaneously. And even the people that do were working very hard for a long period of time before they had that one TikTok reel that went viral that absolutely made their business.
Yes.
I think most people, that immediacy comes from what you were talking about before. They're like, I don't, like, the pain of where I am is so great. I just don't want it anymore. So I've put in approximately 2 months of work on myself. Why aren't I there yet? Why aren't I making more money? Why aren't I happier? Why don't I have it all figured out yet? Yes. And consistency has to be one of the things that you focus on. It almost has to become a personality trait.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have the same business coach. That's actually how we met. And I had this conversation with him a couple of weeks ago, because don't get me wrong, I have had actually quite fast success in my business. I'm not a millionaire, but faster than necessarily like I would have anticipated.
Why do you think that is, out of curiosity?
I think firstly, I already had an existing social media community. So I wasn't growing from scratch. I also work insanely hard. And I think I'm good at what I do. I get my clients' results.
Yes. Love it.
Yeah. Hard work, consistency, and being good at what you do.
And you'd been putting effort into building know, like, and trust.
Yeah. I was in financial education, but my following started when I was a lawyer. So yes. that they saw me take time off. And then they saw me doing more in financial education. Then they saw yes. me move out to Bali. So my followers saw my internal transformation.
Yes.
So it was once I was getting to a point where then I could actually teach what they had clearly seen worked for me.
Yes.
It was a buy-in.
Yes.
What I will say though is I think part of the reason that I have been successful quite early on is I'm a very fast action taker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really sit with things mm-hmm. and I don't really overthink things.
Mm-hmm.
So if something doesn't work, I'll just go take action on it.
As in you receive the feedback, you're like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And now rather than getting upset about it, overthinking about it, going through the I'm not good enough to do this thing, mm-hmm. I have all these self-doubts because of this thing, you're actually coming from a very rational place of not everything in my business is going to work and I'm going to try many things and they're not going to work, yeah. but I'm going to try it for long enough, like you said, consistency, to actually prove that I didn't just try it once and deem it, oh, the thing doesn't work. I tried it consistently and now I'm going to receive the feedback and now I'm going to pivot somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
And having a coach obviously helps yes. with that. I had a launch last year, my first group program, and it was only for 10 women. So I was like, cool. Subconsciously, this is what I thought was going to happen. I'm going to put it up. There's only 10 spots. They're just going to take it. It's going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I had to get feedback from our business coach being like, okay, we'll do this. Cool. Go and do it. All right. Mm-hmm. Try that. Go and do it. And I filled it up, but I had to take action.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to actually go, what's not working and not making it mean something about me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm a failure. Oh, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is proof that I can't do this. That's all mm-hmm. bullshit. They're just stories mm-hmm. in the head.
Yes.
So actually being a really fast action taker and not just sitting in rumination and a degree of self-pity
mm-hmm.
and actually just taking action on something.
And it almost feels like there's a separation between your worth and your business. Like your business does not make you worthy.
Absolutely not.
And then things working in your business does not make Sarah worthy, and things not working in Sarah's business does not make Sarah bad and awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the clients that I work with that come to me that are coaches and entrepreneurs, that's something that can get in their way of like the great business makes them great. The great posts on social media makes them brilliant. Mm-hmm. The dollars make them worthy. And that's why when things don't go their way, it's hard for them to be with.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that as well comes from, and I think this is where my background in financial education helped. I had savings to get me through starting my own business.
Yes.
If you're already in a scarcity mindset and you have no financial savings, when you go into business for yourself, you're just going to panic
mm-hmm.
and everything's going to mean something. You have a launch that doesn't go well, or you put out your coaching offer and you're not getting one-on-one clients. When you don't have financial savings to keep you going through that, it's much harder to detach from the outcome and go, okay, that didn't work. Why not? Let's move again.
Yes. So I love this. Circling all the way back to the truth behind a freedom lifestyle is something that you're suggesting here, that the woman have worked and saved enough to support herself for a period of time. Mm-hmm. So that she knows what she's trying. Her lifestyle isn't relying on her generating income in the immediate future. Mm.
So I've worked with a lot of women that have experienced this issue as well.
Yes.
The ones that I see can manage and regulate their nervous systems the best generally will start something on the side while they're still working
mm-hmm.
so that there's not as much pressure. And as you know, it can take a while to work out what you want to do and build out an offer and things like that. And then the period that they decide to go all in on it, that they work out what the predetermined amount of savings is. Is it 6 months living expenses? Is it a year? Is it 3 months? Whatever it might be. And they actually have that financial buffer to help them make mistakes, to help them learn from what's going on, because you're not going to get it right the mm-hmm. first time. You're not just going to instantly make money from your business. Very unlikely.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a few things that you've said and it reminds me, I used to watch Gary Vee all the time.
Yeah.
And he's the one that I've heard say only 1% kick off overnight. The other 99% of entrepreneurs take 10 years to have their first good year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gary Vee also said, go and get a job that you know like the back of your hand, that you walk in, you open the door, you do the work, you close the door, you go and work on your business. Yep. And I had an activewear before I had my coaching business. Now, I was all in on the activewear, decided I was too good for the JOB, quit everything, didn't want to go back to work, had to sell the tights to make money.
Mm.
It was a beautiful business, but I was running it from desperation and scarcity. Literally had to sell the crop top to pay my rent. I ended up going back to my old skill set when I was 21, 22, personal training and Pilates instructing, thought I was done with it. Was earning less money than what I used to earn when I was 21, 22, horrified, like hugely humbling for my ego. And it really taught me the value of having my rent and bills paid whilst I built my business. So then when I went and started my coaching business, I went back to teaching Pilates and I said to myself, until I've earned my first $200,000 in my business, I will not quit my job. And so my rent and bills were paid every single week and every client that I signed on top of that, that was abundance. That was like, I don't need you. Sarah, please sign up to my program because I need to pay my rent. It was, I can't wait to work with you because we're going to create huge life transformation, but I'm good either way. You don't need to sign up. And that to me is a part of the reason why my activewear plummeted. My coaching business, I took those lessons and integrated it into coaching. And that's why I feel like I flew really fast.
I love that because if you have a scarcity mindset, you're also going to make scarcity-based decisions in clients, taking on the wrong clients. Or what I often see with people, especially with the freedom lifestyle, people need to work out what freedom also means to them. Because a lot of people say freedom, they actually mean flexibility. Like I have clients that say to me, they're like, I want the ability to work from Nelson Bay on the weekend. Or I want the ability to have 3 days doing this. I'm like, that's not my version of freedom. That would be flexibility. What often happens is people get so desperate for that freedom that they replace one hellhole for another. And what they end up doing is they take whatever their skill set is. Say they do marketing. They're like, okay, I'm going to do freelance marketing. That's going to be my business. And then they're trading their time with a boss to one-on-one client servicing again, but with more stress, less money. And it doesn't actually work for them. So I think for a lot of people, they actually need to work out, what does freedom mean for me? Is it time freedom? Is it financial freedom? Is it geographical freedom? For me, it's all three.
Yeah, I was literally going to say, can you tell us your personal definition of your own experience of freedom?
So for me, it's freedom of choice. I want complete, full autonomy over my life, which means financial, time, and geographical freedom. So I knew that going into business, which meant I knew I did not want a business model that was driven by one-on-one client servicing. I'm also highly driven by impact. It's one of my core values. So I knew I wanted courses, so group coaching programs, courses, workshops, something that was scalable and that also fed directly into financial freedom because it's not reliant on me showing up one-to-one for people. And then time. I don't care if I get there slower because I only want to work 4 to 5 hours a week. It wasn't like that in the beginning. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I'm like, 12 months in business, 4 to 5 hours a week. Let's go, baby. I actually love working. So I'm like, reason I love Bali is I feel like we get 3 days in one day. So I work a lot, but then I also feel like I get a lot of my own time as well.
And also though, I have a lot of skill sets from a lawyer that I never expected as a coach. And one of them, I am a work mule. My 4 hours is some people's 2 days of work. So I do often just do 4 or 5 hours of work. But it is literally the equivalent. I did 3 days of work in 4 hours the other day.
Amazing.
Same with negotiations as a lawyer. Guess what I'm good at? Sales. A lot of people go, oh, I can't do that because I don't have the skill set in it. Yes, you do. You just don't see it.
They're transferable. You just don't know it yet. And you're not willing to see beyond what's right in front of you. But if you were to open your lens view and see the world through the lens of possibility, there's probably a lot more out there if you're willing to actually break through your fears of how would I feel without getting paid the same thing every second Friday? How would I feel if fill in the blank, my partner and I were distant from each other for 2 weeks of the month? How would I feel if I didn't live in the same hometown as my parents where I grew up? How would I feel if I spoke about herpes on the fucking internet? I was like, I'm about to talk about this thing. I work in a Pilates studio and I have to go in tomorrow and they're all probably going to look at me and be like, what the fuck? But like, these are all the things you want to talk about taboo shit on the internet. How am I going to feel doing all of that? And am I willing to be brave for the benefit of the latter?
And being shit at something again.
Yes.
A lot of women avoid this lifestyle or creating this lifestyle, even though they deeply desire to, because they know that they're not going to be good at a lot of the things that they have to do. And there is such a driving I'm not good enough story that they're afraid to do what they perceive to be failing or to be bad at something. So they want to stay in their happy comfort zone, go to a job that they don't like because they don't want to have to go and do something that they think that they're not going to be any good at.
And so then once you got to Bali, was it just the breeze? Was it the dream? Was it every single day you are high on life and just
Absolutely not.
You've been here 2 years. What has your Bali experience been like?
I'm laughing because the first, I want to say 4 months was hell is the wrong word, but I was struggling really badly with PTSD for a number of years from an abusive, including physically abusive relationship. So my first 3 to 4 months in Bali, I went deep into my trauma. I was like twice a week in one-on-one coaching plus breath work. I was literally pulling out the shit. I wasn't really talking to anyone back home. I went in a cocoon of healing, basically. That was really hard. It was hard to have to face that stuff. I'd been burying it and suppressing it for a long time. I'd done a lot of talk therapy. So, you know, I thought that I dealt with it, as a lot of people do.
I was going to say, did you know how much was there? Because I know you said you started doing inner work and that was a part of your transformation. But once you scratched the surface, we were like, whoa.
What I know now, but I didn't know back then, is the mindset stuff is such a small piece of the puzzle. All it does for a lot of people is get them really self-aware, but it doesn't actually get rid of what they're holding in the body, right? 80 to 90% of signals to the brain come from the body. And when you're holding trauma in the body, everything was a threat. I'd get on the back of a bike and I would be absolutely terrified because I also have lifelong injuries from that partner. You know, I've got 7 slipped discs in my spine. And so when you have injuries as a result of your trauma, the threat that you perceive when you have that unresolved in the body is really high. So my first few months here was really having to create safety in my body, nervous system regulation, releasing it through breath work, through other somatic movement, through energy work. And on the other side of that, I did. I really started to wake up energetic. I was able to sleep better. All of a sudden, my gut issues started getting better, muscle aches and tensions started going away, and my back pain that I'd had every day for probably a decade by that point, and I'd had specialists in Australia tell me I would be in pain for the rest of my life, I'd have to be on heavy pain meds, resolved.
Wow. And so for any woman listening to this who doesn't know about somatics, doesn't know about nervous system regulation, doesn't even really understand what you mean, like, what do you mean mindset therapy, talk therapy, getting into the body? What is mindset and talk therapy? And how did you know now I have to go to my body if I want this true transformation?
Mindset is where we're using the brain to try to generate change, right? We're trying to change our thoughts to change how we feel. The bottom up or the body up approach or somatics, whatever term you want to use for it, is where we try and change our state to change how we think. Or we also, we're going in and we're actually releasing what's being held in the body. All emotions are energy in motion. So when we have emotions that we have suppressed or repressed, they stay held in the body. And for me, a lot of that release work was through breath work. I didn't know this though. This was all me stumbling in the dark in the beginning. All I know is I went to a breath work class and I cried a lot, but it was incredibly cathartic. And then afterwards I was like, that's the lightest I felt in ages. I had memories that came up, but they didn't feel traumatic. And I just felt incredible afterwards. So I just continued to follow what felt really good for me.
What is up, you beautiful woman? I am interrupting this powerhouse podcast episode to let you know that next week I have launched something that I've never done before. The Confident Woman Bootcamp is a 4-day, highly interactive online coaching experience with me and my team designed to ignite a fire within you so that you feel confident to begin living your most alive, aligned, lit up and turned on life. Babe, there is so much value packed into this 4 days. There is 2 content calls. There are 2 bonus live 90-minute coaching calls. Everything is recorded. You have 4 content pillars, a bonus embodiment module. And for everyone else in the world, you know, like the general pop, the investment is $249. I've literally made it a steal for everyone to join. But for my raw, real and vulnerable community, I've made it even better. You can sign up for only $99. The code for you is in the link and in the show notes. So make sure that you head below, grab your seat, and I cannot wait to see you there. Yes, I love that. It's funny. I did a embodiment session with Jade, one of my coaches, 2 days ago, and we didn't know that it was going to go there, but it's like screaming, wailing. We were moving the jealousy wound because a lot of jealousy has come up for me in my breakup. And she's like, I'm holding it down, girl, and we're going all the way in. And then my housemate sends me a text. are you okay? Because all our Indonesian neighbours have text saying, there's a woman screaming and crying from the house. I'm like, it's okay. We're just doing a little bit of embodiment. Everything is good here. I feel more open and available than ever before. I feel clean.
It's funny you say that because my old place when I lived with housemates, sometimes I'd forget to tell them when I was running a client breathwork session. And so I'd come out afterwards. I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Like, that was a lot of screaming. They're like, oh, we just assumed it was like your own somatic release or you had a client in there or something. It's all good.
And was it really confronting when you first started doing it of like, it's a lot of expression that I feel women as a whole, this is a huge generalization, but I'm sure many of us will agree, we're suppressed. Mm. Our expression is suppressed. We're meant to look pretty. Like my releases do not look and or sound pretty. I think they're amazing. They feel incredible, but I feel a lot of women might have a lot of judgment or embarrassment or feel like they need to suppress it, tame it. I can even sometimes when it's coming up, like the bigness of it, even in front of Jade, I'm like, we have full trust. I love this woman. I'm like, you got to go all the way in, Rebecca, let it all the way out. But there's still a voice that's like, oh, do you want to go that far? And I feel a lot of women would find it really hard to go deep.
They do. And a lot of people that come into a breathwork session are scared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a single person that hasn't, especially the first time that they go. But I've done breathwork now on hundreds of people, men and women. And what I have seen time and time and time again, your body will never give you what you can't handle.
Yes.
And there has to be a degree of trust.
Yes.
You can handle it. Mm-hmm. You have resiliency. You wouldn't get to where you are in your life right now if you didn't have that level of resiliency. Nothing will come up for you that you're not ready to handle yet. Mm-hmm. And my releases in the beginning are wildly different to what they are now as I learn expression, mm-hmm. because so much of that suppression is I was holding things in. Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, it was just tears. Mm-hmm. I was comfortable in my expression of sadness. It probably wasn't until maybe 6 months in that I started getting more rage mm-hmm. and anger. Like, how fucking dare you violate me like that, you motherfucker. Like, that didn't come up at first. It was just a hurt little person.
Yes.
But it's because your body gives you what you can handle at the time. So for anyone that is curious, but they're scared about it, have the trust that you are going to be given what you can handle and you can handle it.
Yeah, I love that. And because you run breathwork trainings, right? You're a breathwork facilitator. So why did you decide to do that? Why did you want to give this gift?
Because it's life-changing.
Yeah.
Truly, truly life-changing. And with a lot of the work that we do, things don't happen overnight. But I have had so many people, one breathwork session, and they've messaged me and they're like, that was life-changing for me. Mm. It's the most connected to my body I've ever felt. I've had women with disordered eating or eating disorders message me afterwards and be like, I've hated my body for as long as I can remember. Mm. And this is the first time I've ever felt love towards her.
Oh, wow.
And I see so many women that they struggle with overthinking. They're paralyzed in life because they're just stuck in their thoughts, not able to make a decision. And they come to one breathwork class and they're like, I have clarity I've been looking for. I know what I need to do. I was just scared.
Mm.
And so it's getting out of the head and into the body and the insights and intuition that come from that, for me, that is so moving.
Mm.
And I believe in mindset work, absolutely, but I also believe in the somatic work. And so that's why a lot of my work now, I do both with clients.
Yeah. I agree, because if a client doesn't feel safe to go to their body, maybe we have to start with mindset work first, just to create that foundation of safety, trust between coach and client. And it will be a slow, I call it an edging process into getting them to trust their body, trust their own touch, trust their own breath. And it might be slow and gradual, but you'll get there. And I feel without a clock of like, I need to do somatics now. And then your body's like, no, I don't fucking want to do somatics. We can't force the body to do what the body isn't willing to do. But if we can gently guide her there, my opinion.
Have you found a somatic practice that works the best for you? Like, I know you've done your breathwork qualifications, but
I don't love breathwork.
Okay.
But I love dance movement. I love sensual dance. I love sensual touch as a down regulation practice. Self-loving touch for me, and it's taken a long time for me to create that relationship with my inner teenager where I wasn't rejecting her. But now self-loving touch in front of the mirror, if I'm desiring more power, maybe a powerful sensual dance in front of the mirror, and then rage. I love being able to access my rage, because once I fully go all the way into my rage and let it out, underneath there's often a lot of sadness for me to then express. And so that will be such a charged release, and then it will be really soft and gentle. And then my favorite thing with any kind of huge trauma release process is then going back into self-loving touch and reprogramming the body back to pleasure.
I love that you've clearly done so much somatic work that you know what actually works for you though.
Yeah. Well, we're in this work, right? I love it. I've done it from age 25. I hated myself. I'd been struggling with food and my body image for longer than I could remember, my entire 20s. Just found out I had herpes, hated myself for that. And I was at a point of desperation of, I just will try anything. I will drink anything. I will eat anything. I will do anything. I will research anything. I'll invest anything. I didn't care how much it would cost. Breaking free from herpes has cost me so much money because I just didn't give a fuck. What mentor told me that they could help me, I was like, if you think you can, teach me how to learn to not even love myself, but at least find some amount of acceptance for who I am as a woman, I would do it. I was so desperate to get away from the pain that I was feeling. Mm. And there's this deep self-hatred around this thing. But then the beauty of it was I ended up in these personal development spaces with, I would never know you if I didn't do this work. No. So all the pain was worth it because every friend that is mine right now, every person that loves me is from this community of people that love the same shit as me. Had no idea I was ever going to turn it into a business. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Didn't ever think that I was going to be a coach. Didn't ever think that I was going to help women with this. And it was through that that I learned, yeah, I'm really brilliant at teaching it, but I did it from passion and from love. I started to feel good about myself. I started to learn how to actually like myself and express myself. And then through that, I created connection. And I feel like connection brings richness to life. Yeah. And so for me, that's why I've tried so much, because I was just like, anything. I tried all the typical avenues, get a good body, earn lots of money, have a great boyfriend. And once none of that brought me the thing, I was like, now I've got to try all the holistic things, ayahuasca, sananga, cambo, medicines, shamans. And that's how I've tried so much.
I love that. And I think that's a beautiful lesson for anyone as well that's listening to it. And it can also be a bit of a trigger, but the worst thing that's happened to you can also be the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Yes.
Because for me, like, that abusive relationship absolutely destroyed me. And for anyone that's struggled with it, the psychological warfare is the worst part. I had no self-esteem. I was just crippled. I had no friends afterwards, all of this stuff. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me now. I would never wish it on anyone. I don't want to muddy that up, but it is the best thing that ever happened to me because it's what led me to where I am now. And I had to go into personal development in order to manage, one, being in chronic pain every single day.
Yes.
Because I was so dysregulated and I would react all the time, because chronic pain is an invisible knife on you every day.
Yeah.
So I have to live with that. And then I had to go into personal development because of the psychological wounds. But that led me to exactly where I am, and exactly like you, like, I'm so passionate about it and I love teaching it, that this thing that was so hard and so heavy and I carried for like over a decade in pain has become the greatest gift to my life. And don't get me wrong, in the beginning when someone said that to me, I was like, fuck you.
Yes.
Get fucked. Yes. Well, you want to tell me that an abusive relationship is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me? Fuck off.
Yes.
But where I am now, having actually come through the other side of it, such a blessing, because I get to live this beautiful life. I get to help thousands of people. I get to have a beautiful life of freedom. I get to have the connection, exactly like you just said. We wouldn't be here either if it wasn't for that. And so anyone that is going through something really hard, there is a lesson, even if you can't see it, that one day you'll be grateful for one of those lessons.
Yeah, I always say to clients, because they're like, my life is ruined, Beck. It's over. I'm like, you don't know what you don't know yet. And I totally understand, because different context, different vehicle, very similar feelings. And I always say it shows up in a different vehicle for everyone. But if someone turned around and said to me when I was 25, it all has a point, it's all going to work out, you're going to be okay, I would be like, you don't fucking know shit, bitch. This is
you
the
don't
worst
know
thing.
My life, my circumstances are different. You don't know me.
And now us being here sitting in these chairs, I can literally backtrack my entire life and be like, of course that thing had to happen that way for this thing to that, for me to meet that person, for that horrible moment that this, and now everything that happened that was so bad and painful and terrible, the worst thing to ever happen to me, became the best. But I am 11 years on the other side of it to be able to say that with so much certainty.
So what would the lesson, do you think, be for anyone that's listening to that as well, being like, she just doesn't get it. She's not me. She just doesn't know my life circumstances.
Yeah, I would always say you don't know what you don't know. And just like when you said about the breath work, Your body will only give you what you can handle. Mm. I believe that connecting to a faith higher than you, bigger than you, is so pivotal to this life path because, I mean, the past 4 months have been fucking horrific for me going through this breakup. I think a breakup is harder than navigating herpes shame personally. It's been really hard for me. And because I'm so connected to my faith, I'm like, you know what? I know that God wouldn't put this here if it wasn't for something really great. Mm. And because I've broken through the hardest things and beautiful things have come from that, why would this be any different, Rebecca? There's something so beautiful on the other side of this breakup, and it requires you to go through this. You know how we spoke about the money of like, I want to quit my job, I want the freedom lifestyle, and now the gap, but you become the person that can hold the life in that. So you can't skip this part. We're in the part that we want to skip, but we're actually creating the energetic body, the foundation within that can hold the money, the career, mine is husband, family, that beautiful motherhood life. But I'm literally becoming the woman now that can hold the intimacy and the depth of partnership and the family that I'm calling in. I can't skip over this. And I believe that connection to universe, source, high power, spirit, whatever it is that you align with, God for me is a power outside of me that reminds me of the power that exists within me. That to me is my definition of God. And so that, when you don't know, when you're like, this is the worst thing ever, you don't know what you don't know. And I believe that a connection to something bigger than you will support you through it.
I love it. And I love what you're talking about, being able to hold it, because it's true. If you skip over all those messy parts of doing the work. So for example, all of these people that struggle with that, I'm not good enough. You could be given a successful business overnight with a full book of clients. Could you hold that?
Yes.
How would you show up to a coaching call? Do you feel confident in your skill set? Do you feel like you can deliver them a result?
Yes.
Do you feel confident charging them really high rates?
Yes.
If you don't do the work in the middle to be able to hold everything that you want in this life, you won't actually end up having what you want because you can't hold it.
Yes. And so final question just on exactly that. If a woman was like, I want this big life. I know I'm ready for change. I don't know if I can hold it. What's your one piece of advice to her to be able to become the woman that can hold the vision that she feels within?
Follow your first thought because it's intuition, and ignore the second one, which is your fear. A lot of the time you do know what you want, but we allow all of these thoughts to keep us in this stuckness. And a lot of those thoughts will convince us out of something that we want. But if you deeply desire something, you have to actually allow yourself to go after it and to be consistent in it, even when it means facing fear, even when it means there's discomfort, even when we've got to face the traumas and bring out the shit that we've been hiding from. Whatever your first thought is about what you want, that's your intuition. And to actually really follow that, because you can either stay where you are, which is a guaranteed more of the same, or you can do something different.
I love it. Sarah, I have loved having you on the show today. I ask every guest the same question to finish. Are you ready?
Okay.
Sarah Scully Leaf.
Yes.
What does it mean uniquely to you to be raw, real and vulnerable in your own life?
To be authentic. To not put on any mask, facade or version of self that isn't exactly me and exactly how I'm feeling in that moment, connected to my heart and connected to my gut.
I love it. If any woman from my world wants to get all up into yours, where do we find you?
Sarah Scully Leaf is my username on Instagram. Basically, is the easiest way to find me.
Perfect. We'll put it in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here in Bali, in person with me today. I've had so much fun.
I enjoyed popping your cherry.
Oh, thank you. She was gentle. I maybe wanted it a little bit harder.
And now we can go for dinner afterwards.
I'm going to get some tonight. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.